Blog Talk Hello, Radio. Welcome. Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology on Blog Talk Radio. Access Astrology is three astrologers, and we bring you a weekly look at the heavens and what in heaven's sake is going on, and any other things, and you're welcome to call in. Give us a call and ask a question or let us know you're listening. And this is Mark Waltz speaking to you from New York City over on the west side of Manhattan.
And I'm Ann Ortley, and I'm speaking to you from New York City over on the east side of Manhattan and my bright red desk on the Upper East Side.
And this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from the middle of the country up right on the Canadian border in the Turtle Mountains of North Dakota.
Okay, we have a big week ahead of us. This is today is the 4th of May, 2009, and we're moving rapidly toward the full moon. This will be a full moon in Scorpio, and along with it, we have Mercury stationing to go retrograde for 3 weeks. So, big week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whenever Mercury goes retrograde, it always kind of makes everything hop and jump. You know, most people know Mercury retrograde, you know, they've kind of heard about it because we are a very communication-oriented culture. And when Mercury goes backwards, and we know the planet doesn't actually go backwards, but it looks like it's going backwards, and it feels like most of our communications go backwards or sideways or crooked or somehow just don't get where they're supposed to get. And our cell phones, our computers, our communication devices, our anything that we rely on to communicate or travel with, including our cars, kind of seem to have a little hiccup or kind of seem to have a little more activity as we're asked to pay attention to the guy who's in charge of all the communication devices in the world. So I always love
radio shows.
Pardon?
Are radio shows exempt?
Radio shows are not exempt. No, we're definitely included. And, in fact, when I signed on earlier tonight to get ready to go on the radio, I went, it said, no shows scheduled. And I'm like, what? No shows scheduled? And it was a new month. And I'm like, oh, wow, no shows are scheduled. So I quickly scheduled our shows for the month of May. It's definitely pretty exciting. So.
Yes, Mercury retrograde. My chart is so mercurial, as most Virgos' charts are, that I collect Mercury retrograde stories. So if our callers want to call in for the next 3 weeks with any of their great Mercury retrograde stories, what went wrong or what went in an unusual pattern in your life? With Mercury retrograde, I find that it's impossible for me to tell a joke because I always manage to throw the punchline in at the wrong point of the joke. But that's one of the lighter, minor versions of Mercury retrograde. But it is the time to go back and finish something that should have been done a long time ago. I think of the prime example of that was that when South America won its freedom and blacks finally had the right to vote, the turning point was on a Mercury retrograde. And it was something that should have happened a long time ago, like an overripe fruit falling. So sometimes we see things turn right under Mercury retrograde if they have been wrong or delayed for a long time. But for most forward motions, for most great communications or most patterns that we're working, it's not an easy time. This doesn't mean, I know someone trying to buy a house right this very minute before Mercury goes retrograde, and I just said, you know, it's going to be delays. It won't follow through the way you expect it to. And when Mercury is retrograde, make sure you read and read again everything that you sign. It doesn't mean that we have to stop our life. It just means we have to step forward with extra care. That, as they say, you know, the gods aren't talking to us. Mercury is retrograde. But we need to talk to the gods. It's a wonderful time to prayer, to meditate, to contemplate, and to read the fine print. So it's great for people that are reviewing for final exams or for turning in a final paper, that their thinking may be a little slower, so if they can collect all the information before, you know, Wednesday, great. But then using this time to review can consolidate our understanding. What worries me is that Mercury is going retrograde with Venus and Mars in the two of the most volatile signs. Venus and Mars are in both in Aries right now, which can be really good on a good day. You laugh, you cry, you can be silly, you can be extreme, but emotions tend to move forward like a forest fire, and they move forward quickly. So you have misunderstandings with Mercury retrograde, as which we, you know, it's so easy to misunderstand. If you think you've understood someone before you react, slow it down and ask, what did you mean by that? Did you mean what I just thought I heard? You're like, did you mean what I just heard? No, is often the case. But confirm your information. But so there's a volatile emotional response just as we're heading into the full moon in Scorpio. And the full moon in Scorpio is a tempestuous, deep, intense time of the year. So we've got a very volatile, intense weekend coming up. Really good to dive deep into something, but can lead us to an emotional roller coaster if we are if we don't confirm our facts and run with the bit. Mark, what do you see coming this weekend?
Well, it's this particular Mercury retrograde. It's kind of nice that it makes its station in the first degree of Gemini. It means it has just moved into Gemini and stops. Besides, not to go the rest of the way into Gemini and instead starts going backward. And most of the retrograde period is then going to be in Taurus. It'll move all the way back to 22 Taurus. And it'll go direct from 22 Taurus. That'll be on at the end of May, 30th of May. So between now and 30th of May, we will have a retrograde Mercury in Taurus. And that actually should help a little bit in dealing with the Venus and Mars in Aries, because as you were saying, Heather, the Venus, Mars, and Aries is very volatile, and it needs to slow down. So at least with Mercury in Taurus, we tend to be more practical, more grounded, and the mind will move more slowly and be more fixed on practical things. And you know, it's a little bit like I just thought of the slogan for the state of Missouri, which is "Show Me." Right? And we say it's the "Show Me" state, but whatever you say, the Missourians will say, "Oh, show me," right? And you know, Mercury in Taurus is kind of that way. Show me. You know, I got to see it, got to feel it, got to put my foot on it, and I know it's real. And that may help to check a little bit of that Aries energy, but. And we need that with the Scorpio moon coming up, that Scorpio full moon. So try to use that and be aware that Mercury is retrograde and is in Taurus, and that gives us a really big permission to think a little slower, go a little more inward, and look at the facts, kind of line them up before making a decision. So pull all the facts out of the drawer, off of the top of the dresser, you know, put them all on the desk in front of you one by one and move them around a little bit before you make a choice and take an action. So I think that will be a good way to handle this Mercury retrograde. Let it be something that directs us towards something more practical.
Right, rather than just getting all crazy and cranky. Yeah. And also, when Mercury's retrograde, it reveals things. So a lot of times you'll find out about something that you never knew before, and you'll go, I didn't know that. And that's Mercury's job. Remember, his role is the trickster. He knows the secrets. He knows where everything is. And stuff you didn't know about can come back and bite you on the butt. And stuff you did know about but you kind of never really told anybody about can come out, can be revealed, because Mercury likes to reveal things. The other thing to remember is Saturn is stopping and slowing to a stop. He's not going to actually return direct this week. He's going to do it next week. But when he slows to a stop, right now he's in Mercury's sign. So what that's going to do is kind of make it a double negative, meaning, you know, like Prince William saying about his mother, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think of her. It's like, well, you could have said, you know, I think of my mother every day. But you know, it's the double negative that gets us to the positive. So with all this negative reversal energy, with Saturn retrograde and Mercury retrograde and Mercury ruling Saturn, there's enormous opportunities for misunderstanding or miscommunication or mishearing. You know, a lot of times what can happen is you hear something or you find out something and it totally alters your worldview, but it was there all along, you never saw it, but then like suddenly something shifts and it clicks and you're like, okay, I'm done now. And recognize that that's also a very big part of this Mercury retrograde, because part of it is the universe saying to us, okay, folks, it's time to get ready to go forward, and we're going to pick up the story from last fall when Saturn was last at this degree, and we're going to pick up the story from last month, and we're going to put the two of them together so you can look at them and see them in a different light. And then we're going to go forward. So the other part to watch in this is watch for the ghosts from last fall to come back and say, hi, I'm back. And then you have to say, oh, you know, I kind of wanted you to come back, but, you know, now that it's been so long, I don't really know that I want you anymore. And that it's a very gentle time to be gentle with yourself, because the universe is really going to be asking you to make choices that you might not feel you have enough information to make. So what you do is you say, you know, I think I might do that, but I'm not 100% sure. Let me let you know at the end of the month of May. But I'm thanks for asking, because you're not 100% sure which way you want to go. At least that's what I've been finding with my clients and stuff. So, yeah, because that Saturn, Mercury ruling Saturn, it's like Mercury's going backwards, and he's waking up Saturn, and he's going backwards in Gemini, so he's really tricky when he's backwards in Gemini. And then Saturn's going forward. And then Mercury's going backward into this Jupiter-Neptune thing that is the rain and the craziness about the swine flu and the emotional, all that kind of hyper-emotionality that we've been having the last couple of weeks. And then Saturn's going to go direct, and then Mercury's going to go over the Jupiter-Neptune, and then Jupiter and Neptune are going to meet and make it even more foggy, and then Mercury's going to go direct. So it's like a crazy month, totally crazy, all kinds of twists and turns and reversals, kind of like a really bad episode of Mission Impossible, you know, where you think that guy's going to happen, and then that guy changes, and then they whip off the mask, and you realize it was really always Martin Landau. It's like, you know, just kind of hang on the judgments, collect the data, watch, listen, and just kind of go, you know, they told me this, but they didn't tell me that. So if they're telling me this, that then means that they're left that other part out. It's a big month for sins of omission, as the Catholics call it, where you leave out something really important, or something really important comes out and you go, oh my God, I never knew that before. So I'm really looking forward to the month, because I know it's going to be full of all sorts of really, really juicy Mercury retrograde stories. So Heather, your collection is going to really grow.
I do think it's going to be full of juicy Mercury retrograde stories. And I see, especially as Mercury turns it, you know, it's always worse, at least I see, the day Mercury switches directions. There's a lot of turbulence in the air. And once it gets fully retrograde, we see them collect and pile up, but we don't necessarily, it's not quite as turbulent. It's just full of delays. But on May 7th, this week, as Mercury turns retrograde, Mars semi-squares Neptune at the same time, and we may just not know what we want. It goes back, Moon will be in Libra tomorrow, and Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, which adds to a time when we're feeling, you know, a little bit more friendly, and it's a really good time the next 3 days to patch up any difficulties we are having with other people, make sure that we're in good shape, be friendly, you know, grease the wheels so that we have that goodwill to rely upon when things get a little difficult. As Mercury goes retrograde, we may rethink something that we thought we were sure about. Some uncertainty may come up to our momentum, or confusion about what we do next as Mars semi-squares Neptune. And at this point, also alcohol or anything that pulls down our energies can get suddenly worse. Now, it's interesting watching the health issues that many people are experiencing under these aspects, because with Mercury moving stationary, Saturn stationary, a lot of people are reporting feeling very tired. Mm-hmm. Now, when they get excited about something or they get going with that Mars and Venus and Aries energizes them, and they can throw themselves into a project. But when they're not excited, when they don't have an emotional connection with what they're doing, the energy level runs tired, and the immune system runs low, with especially with Mars in this semi-square to both Jupiter and Neptune at the moment, kind of fuzzing out our natural immune system and, you know, making it so that our immune system isn't quite sure what's the bad guy and what's not, where does it need to attack. With Mars and at the same time with this Mars in Aries and Venus in Aries, the desire to find something, some, you know, it's you want the cowboys wearing black hats and white hats. People want to see clear good guys, bad guys, and where do I go from here? That's not really happening in our world political situation right now, but I see people's reaction to the swine flu along that matter, that people are reacting extremely intensely to this disease, not because it's proven to be that dangerous. It's fairly mild in its response compared to many other flus that have come down the pike, but because it is unknown and because it seems to be spreading at an extremely fast rate, and you know, faster, there's so many, many subclinical cases of it from what I'm hearing on the web, but that we're ready to handle a real emergency. So that's one of the secrets with Venus and Mars and Aries. And it's like the secret with working with any adolescent, and I think the Aries energy can bring out the best and worst of our inner adolescent. It needs a cause that's worthy of it. It needs a challenge that's worthy of it. So if we can look in our lives for something, some clear case, not necessarily a pile of papers that need sorting in our life, but maybe it is
that's not something to fight over. That's like, I want the pile of paper gone. Thank
right.
you very much. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. You know, if we start on that, we'll probably just sweep the whole thing into the round file and throw it away. That we want a simple, clear response to it. But if we need to move every piece of furniture in our house, good, do it. If our neighbor needs a ditch dug because their pipe broke, we're ready to jump in. It's, we want a clear challenge. So look, we need to look at our life for what is some clear challenge that we can focus this energy upon and watch how our energy level picks up in response to that. If it's got lots of little chores it's got to do, our very amorphous goal, it loses energy very quickly. But it can be, you know, the real hero. It's real heroic energy if we've got a place to be heroic. And to watch that in a relationship, that when, if two people are fighting, if they can find a challenge to take on together rather than a fight to have with each other, it's the desire to move some emotional muscle. And if they can move it together, it may be a bonding experience versus a fight. As long as we stop and confirm that we heard what we thought we heard and we step forward in that pattern. And what was the number that people can call in if they would like to speak to us?
If people would like to call in, the number is 347-215-8881. And if you have any questions or comments, you can also email us at accessastrologynyc. You know, if you go to the website, there's a way to contact us. But the phone number for calling is 347-215-8881. So it's very cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Mark, I'm going to pass that back on to you. I'm just rambling on here.
Rambling on, okay.
Mars is in Aries. You're supposed to ramble, Heather. It's, you know, you're supposed to at least go out and hunt for something, you know?
Right. Yeah, Mercury is in Gemini, and that does make our minds kind of wander a bit and ramble and... It's really good for conversation at the moment.
Yeah, it's like roll. Cool.
Yeah. The main things this week really are the Mercury stationing and the full moon, and, you know, that is a big deal. I always find with Mercury retrograde, these retrograde periods are 3 weeks each time, and usually the first week I don't feel it so strongly, and then by the second week I start to notice it, and then the third week I have to give up completely. It's a mess, but I know you tend to feel it right away. Like we could set our clock by it, but mm-hmm. For me they build, and I don't know, you know, with other people how it is, but somehow I guess I keep going on some kind of momentum the first week, and things start to gum up. So, and I expect on this one it'll be that way, especially because the retrograde starts from that first degree of Gemini. And Mercury in Gemini is not feeling quite so slowed down. It's not the slowest it'll be. In fact, Mercury in Gemini is the fastest that Mercury will operate. So, you know, it's not going to, we might not notice that first day or two, but then it'll slide back into Taurus, and I think things will really start to slow down then. But we can use that to our advantage, like we've been saying all along. And it is really a time to expect the unexpected. There will be surprise revelations. If there's anything that you've had a suspicion might be worth looking into, now is the time. And just be prepared. You will find things out. And
stuff you might not want to know, too.
Yeah, definitely, with this full moon in Scorpio. And see that the full moon comes on the 9th, which is Friday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. It's actually, on the East Coast, it's just after midnight, the very beginning of Friday the 9th. And so it comes in at 18 Scorpio. And, you know, we feel that Scorpio moon, you know, for another day. And then we feel the effect of this full moon, though, within a couple of weeks. So really a good part of the retrograde Mercury is covered by this full Scorpio moon. So lots and lots of intrigues that get unveiled, and some intrigues that get created. So, you know, watch out for that. And just know that if you're involved in creating some sort of an intrigue or deception, you know, or some kind of a way to get after somebody, right, it'll certainly start out working really well. But you're doing it on this Mercury retrograde, and you're doing it with a Scorpio energy from that moon. So, you know, you got to be able to take as much as you can dish out, because it will come back.
Yeah, no, it's definitely. Well, I also, the other thing to remember is this moon is the is pulling forth the energy from November of 2007, because back then there was the new moon at the same degree of 17 Scorpio. And so you started a project back in November of 2007. That's a year ago, and, you know, a couple smidges back, 20 months ago, you started a project. And now the universe is saying to you, so, like, are you happy with the project? Do you want to change it? What do you want to do? And you're actually going to be seeing kind of a culmination of it, or seeing it maybe in a new light or a new way of looking at it. And that's also very helpful, because full moons, also their job, you know, if you've been out on outside on a full moon, you notice, and you're in like a dark place as opposed to with streetlights, but you notice how bright and how lit the world is and how you can actually see things at night, as opposed to a new moon where the world is very, very dark in night without the lights. And so this is a moon to really take notice on, because it also is an aspect to Saturn, because it's at 17. And so part of the stuff that it's going to be showing you are things to help you know how to move forward. It's not just to show you stuff, but it's to say to you, well, you know, you've been talking about this for a while now, and so now I'm going to show you this thing you never knew about before, and maybe that'll help you. Maybe that'll help you make a decision, or help you see how to work with the energy in a slightly different way. And so if you think of it that way, whatever you learn or you understand or you come to find out on this full moon may actually come to you in a slightly gentler light, because it's not to hurt you, but it is to show you, and it is to bring something to surface so that you know, oh, okay, let me learn how to work with this. Let me figure this out. The other thing we have is Mother's Day coming, and Mother's Day's got some kind of harsh aspects with her, because there's planets are kind of arguing and stuff. So being aware of the, you know, what your purpose is and what you're trying to nurture and create can also help, because if you're trying to grow positive things, you have to water those. And if you're trying to get rid of negative things, you have to maybe not feed those so much. So it's kind of the premise of, if you have a whole bowl of black stones and you take out one stone a day and you put a white stone in, eventually you'll have a bowl of white stones. same premise. This doesn't have to happen immediately overnight, but the process of awakening under the Scorpio moon with the intensity. This is also like the time when the little baby birds fall out of the nests. And, you know, I was in the botanical garden last week, and there were a bunch of little ducklings, and they had lost their mother. And the woman I was with was like, I don't even want to look. Like, their mother is gone. And I'm like, well, there's those other ducks. And she's like, those are the boy ducks. And her husband said to me, the boy ducks are very largely ineffective. We need the mother duck. And she's like, they're going to get eaten. They're going to get eaten by the turtles. They're going to get eaten by the hawks. These little baby ducks were all kind of hanging out together, looking around. But it's the season when we realize, like, what our mothering is, or what is mothering to us, or the absence of mother, or the more dark mother of the earth energy, where it says to us, you know, in life is death. And sometimes birds fall out of the nest, or their mother duck gets lost in the baby duck center in big trouble. So it's also recognizing you may have those kinds of feelings, like that you have no mother, or that you feel a bit like a motherless child under this new moon. And that's all perfectly right, because what it's trying to make you aware of is the passage of time and how life is a fragile and an interesting process at the same time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think of that Scorpio full moon as a Kali Ma feeling.
Yeah.
That sometimes the pruning is what is the most compassionate thing that can be done. It's sort of the tough love from Mother Earth. And so we may see more environmental information this weekend that talks about how having compassion for the individual sometimes is to not have compassion for the whole system.
Right.
And how diseases, for instance, begin to get worse in very crowded circumstances because they proliferate faster and they are part of nature's human spacing process. That, you know, just like we look at our own life, what do we need to pare out of a closet so we actually can use what we have? I sometimes feel that that is what happens to us under these tough aspects. At the same time of the full moon, the sun is forming a sesquiquadrate with Pluto, which continues that, you know, what can we pare out, root down? You know, it's not a good weekend to plant. It's a great weekend to dig the flower pits or to weed. It's not necessarily a good weekend to fertilize our life, but it is to pare it down. Now, with Venus and Mars and Aries, our tendency is to overdo everything that we do. So be careful not to bite off too much to chew. And if you don't have the patience to take out one pebble at a time, do what you can towards that. This full moon, you know, there are many theories on when Buddha's birthday is. The only description that comes through the books, through the early sutras that I could find over the years, was that a description of the second full moon of the year. And, you know, many different cultures read that differently, and some have different ways of deciding when Buddha's birthday. But it always seemed to me that the full moon in Scorpio was the perfect example, and that Buddha's whole path of finding life beyond desire and to transcend desire and to find wisdom beneath it was the gift of a Scorpio moon, and that we are all being asked to do that this week. Mark?
Yeah, that's nice. It's a good way to use the of the Scorpio moon. So we're winding up our show for this week. Jot down that number. Give us a call next week if you have questions. And again, this is Access Astrology. You can also find us at our website, astronyc.com. That's astronyc.com. And this is Mark Waltz in New York.
And Ann Ortley in New York at my bright red desk looking out at the rain.
And Heather Rowan Robbins up here in North Dakota, where we are finally seeing most of the snow gone, and the grass is just beginning to turn that hint of green.
Well, I hope it keeps going green for you.
Yes, totally.
And for all of us. Until next week.
Yeah. So bye, guys. Have a good
okay.
week.
Thanks for tuning in.
Remember to be careful out there, okay? Bye.